Randall here with more of Monitor 67, keeping you posted on significant people and events every weekend. Lester Hemingway, brother of Ernest Hemingway, tells of the author's boyhood, his career, and his death in a revealing interview less than 5 minutes from now.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be if we could talk to the animals, learn all their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea. I would converse in polar bear and python, and I would curse in fluent kangaroo. If people ask me, can you speak rhinoceros? I'd say a phosphorus, can't you? If I conferred with our furry friends, man to animal, think of the amazing repartee. If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they could talk to me. If I consulted with quadrupeds, think what fun we'd have asking over crocodiles for tea. Or maybe lunch with two or three lions, walruses and sea lions. What a lovely place the world would be. If I spoke slang to orangutans, the advantages why any fool on earth could plainly see. Discussing Eastern art and dramas with intellectual llamas, that's a big step forward, you'll agree. I'd learn to speak in antelope and turtle, and my Pekingese would be extremely good. If I were asked to sing in hippopotamus, I'd say why not of us, and I would. If I could parlay with pachyderms, it's a fairy tale worthy of Hans Andersen and Grimm. A man who walks with the animals and talks with the animals, grunts and squeaks and talks with the animals, and they could talk to him. Let me hear him talk. Study every creature's language so I could speak to all of them on sight. If friends said, can he talk in crab or maybe pelican? You'd say like hell he can, and you'd be right. And if you just stop and think of it, ain't no doubt of it, I'm gonna win a place in history. If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, crunch, squeak, squawk with the animals, and they could
Bobby Darin. Now, a Monitor sports special on that American League pennant race. Boston already has clinched a tie for the pennant. Detroit must win its second game against California to force a playoff with the Red Sox. A report on that second Tiger-Angel game from Len Dillon in Tiger Stadium in Detroit.
Thank you, Brad. We're in the top of the eighth. Two out. California has Bobby Knopp on second base. He's there as a result of a walk. And Jimmy Fregosi is the batter. There is a ball and no strike count on him. The score, 8-5, with California giving up two runs to Detroit in the bottom of the seventh. So the Tigers are trying desperately to claw back in here. They have to, as you know, win this second game in order to gain a tie. And so far, manager Mayo Smith has thrown eight pitchers into this battle, and he has gone to this extent. He has just brought in Mickey Lolich, who is making his first appearance in relief of the year. California has used four pitchers. They had just brought in Mini Rojas in the last of the seventh to snuff out the Tiger rally. They got four and two-thirds. Beautiful innings of relief. from Jimmy McLaughlin, who shut the door on the Tigers from the third through the seventh. He tired. They brought in Rojas, who got out of the inning, but not before Detroit scored two. So, with two out in the eighth, California batting, it is California 8, Detroit 5. From Tiger Stadium, Len Dillon, Monitor Sports.
Thanks, Len. The Monitor will stay with that pennant race until it's decided, one way or the other. Hey, you know, it's Monitor Candy Weekend. When you mention candy, I guess I just naturally think chocolate. And when I think chocolate, up comes Brock's Pure Chocolate. And when you think Brock's Pure Chocolate, you think smooth, fella, smooth. B-R-A-C-H-S, Brock's. When you think smooth, you begin to get the idea of what Brock's own Pure Chocolate is all about. The wonderful chocolate they cover all those wonderful candies with. You see, Brock's makes their own Pure Chocolate, makes special blends of chocolate for each candy center. It all starts with cocoa beans. Brock's bean buyers are smooth customers. They know their cocoa beans, and they buy the best. And you wouldn't believe what those beans got to go through at Brock's before becoming that creamy, smooth chocolate covering that covers the nuts and fruits and creams and chewies and crunchies known as Brock's chocolates. They are, as they say, something else.
Buy the bag or buy the box. Chocolate to cheer about. Come from Brock's. B-R-A-C-H-S, Brock's.
Now a Monitor tip for home gardeners. Indoor ivy plants always help brighten any room, and there's a simple way of providing nourishment and helping the vine thrive. Just take a small piece of charcoal and place it in the plant's soil. This will guarantee long life and handsome growth for the ivy. Now here's another tip about property care. If you think there's a lot of work to keeping a well-kept lawn in summertime, wait till you tackle the job now that fall is here. Still plenty of grass to cut, but when you've cut it, you're only half through. Then you've got to rake the leaves. Twice as much work, right? Wrong. With the new quick and quiet Lawn Boy Power Mower, you can vacuum your lawn while you cut it. Vacuum it like your carpet. Lawn Boy's got a king-size leaf bag that swoops up the leaves and stores them. Second time around won't be necessary. So leaf it up with the new Lawn Boy. Just a push on the primer button, one easy tug on the starter cord, and you're off to a flying start and a quick finish. And when it comes to quiet, Lawn Boy's got an extra-large muffler hidden under the mower housing. Muffles engine noise down into the grass. See the new 1968 Lawn Boy line at your dealers. Everything from an 18-inch economy model to a big 30-inch rider. One's just right for you. So try the power mower that vacuums while it cuts. Lawn Boy. And you can forget about that second time around. A reminder, the Boston Red Sox won the American League pennant today, and they'll face the National League champs, the St. Louis Cardinals, in the World Series starting Wednesday in Boston. All the World Series action is yours starting Wednesday on NBC Radio and TV. Lester Hemingway, who is 18 years younger than his famous brother Ernest, has had a career which in many ways parallels Ernest's. A writer, reporter, sportsman, and lover of nature, he's recorded an intimate portrait of his older brother in the book titled My Brother Ernest Hemingway. First, let's extend a cordial Monitor welcome to Lester Hemingway. Nice to
meet you. My honor. Great to be here.
Lester, your memories of your brother Ernest are told in a graphic and an enlightening way in your book. For example, you mention a near-fatal boyhood accident that taught him about bearing pain. Would you mind telling about that?
He was a good, brave lad, and there's no question but what, in your early years, the hardest thing you can do is to learn to be stoical when things are really tough to crunch your teeth on. He very nearly chopped the back of his throat out when he was running with a stick and stumbled and fell, and it indeed did chop out most of both tonsils. As a result, my father patched him up with great rapidity and staunched the flow of blood, but it was just within a half an inch of getting all of the tricky stuff at the back of the throat that once it's gone, you can't replace.
It's very handy having a doctor in the house for once.
For once, it really was. That was up in the North Woods at that.
Uh-huh. How many of Papa's characters were drawn from real life? I know this was one of the big guessing games in those days.
No question but what a great number of them were, and probably all of them, but the probably is a guess.
In other words, he remained really right straight through, basically a reporter who saw it and wrote it as he saw it.
Well, the wonderful thing about most of his characters is they ring so true to life that people swear that they can identify him. Some of the women are a little harder, but the men pretty well stick out as either personal friends or parts of his own early life.
I imagine about everywhere you go, you run into the people who charge forward and say, oh, you would know me in a minute because I was the character that Ernest wrote about as so-and-so, right?
There have been some of those.
Yeah.
Generally, they're people who are slightly under the influence.
Yeah, well, I would imagine that would help. Your brother had a couple of dangerous secret missions to perform during World War II. What were those?
He was extremely lucky, and he did amazing jobs while down in Cuba digging out the actual refueling spots where German submarines were coming on in and loading up and then working on Western Hemisphere shipping.
Mm-hmm.
He not only did this well, but the State Department and the Navy both gave him letters of commendation, and he was up for a medal, and he simply refused to go down to the embassy and be awarded it. They finally sent it out to the Finca.
Well, I remember I've come across several stories regarding his arrival in Paris several hours ahead of anybody.
He was, again, not only lucky, but he was a little more audacious than anybody else because he picked up some good rough characters from the French resistance and worked with them on their way into Paris. When General Leclerc forbade anybody to go ahead, he didn't go ahead. He simply went around.
Mm-hmm. And liberated one of the finest restaurants
the
in the city.
And many other places.
A serious question, and not a very pleasant one.
Sure.
A lot of conversation about Ernest's death. Do you believe that it was an accident?
I certainly don't.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody who knew him can believe that a man who knew guns and loved them the way he did could accidentally shoot himself. Just didn't make any sense.
It wasn't any accident.
What brought it on?
A number of things, and nobody knows truly what goes on in the mind of another human being.
Mm-hmm.
You may think you do, and a man may even write it down, but what he writes isn't always what's going on in his mind. It's what he wants you to think is.
Yeah, what he himself would like to think is.
Right.
The image of himself as he sees himself.
The hardest thing in the world is to live up to an image that's a little bit bigger than life. And I think Papa, like some other people in recent world history, simply found that his own image had grown way beyond his own ability to possibly live up to it. And at one time, it may very easily have overwhelmed him.
Time to get off while you're still looking good.
Not only that, but nobody can go on forever. Everybody has a point at which he says, let's give it a miss.
The thing that always struck me about it was throughout his writing, whether it's Robert Jordan and The Bell or any of the other stories, the line that keeps recurring is his own personal distaste for the fact that his father killed himself and his anger at this, this sense of being left and rejected and turned away from it, all of this.
I remember that, too.
So much of that must have gone through his mind that morning.
Well, the most important thing to realize is that not only does everybody have to make his own decisions, but that every human being must logically have some right to make a decision.
This is very true. If anybody had the right to decide in what manner Ernest Hemingway was going to leave this world, he did.
Certainly.
He'd certainly decided how he was going to be in it when he was here.
And he comported himself pretty damn well while he was here.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much, sir.
An honor, sir.
Our guest has been Lester Hemingway, younger brother of Ernest Hemingway and a noted sportsman, writer, and marine researcher. I really have to change the subject here because Monitor Candy Weekend brings to mind Brock's chocolate-covered cherries, that's all. That's B-R-A-C-H-S, Brock's. Inside that thick chocolate coating, you know what it is? There's one big plump red cherry, a whole one, nestled creamily and cordial, holding it all in thick, specially blended Brock's chocolate. Brock's chocolate-covered cherries. In the chocolates to cheer about display at your store.
By the bag, or by the box, chocolates to cheer about come from Brock's. B-R-A-C-H-S, Brock's.
It's Monitor once again. The time right now, 21 minutes after the hour. I'm Brad Crandall. Here's one of Al Martino's latest songs.
How can I describe you? Couldn't if I tried to. Though it's clear to me, no one can see the reasons why I love you. What a thrill to touch you, and you give so much to. Every day I live, how you give, that is the beauty of you. You got more than gets to me. touch you, and you give so much to me. Every day I live, it's how you give that is the beauty of you.
Great. I mean, like, we were in the car one time, and the wind was just banging in, and the music was banging out, and you could hear it all around you.
And I can just get completely involved in the music, just the music and me.
It was just this bubble that we were traveling along in. It wasn't like anybody else could hear, but, you know, we were just right inside everything.
Hey, what's the monkey?
Moving along inside this sort of, like, grease lightning bubble, and it just penetrated your ears.
I mean, it was like being in our own private world. No one told us to turn it down, and it was just as loud as we wanted it.
You can play it like at home, or like if you go out on a date, you can play it in his car. You've got your whole bash of Stereo 8 tapes right there. They've got really groovy stuff, and they've got the new sound. That kind of sound is the kind that you can sandwich your head between two speakers and really take off.
Catch the young sound of today anywhere, in the car and at home, on RCA Stereo 8 cartridge tapes. Cheer Brock's chocolate-covered cherries, chocolate-covered peanuts, chocolate bridge mix, all made with Brock's own pure chocolate.
B-R-A-C-H-S, Brock's!
Pretty soon now, we were going to have Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, but they didn't quite make it. We don't have enough time. Sorry about that, Herb. That's a Banda, by the way. A reminder that Monitor is a familiar voice on NBC throughout the nation, serving southern New England, WJAR, and Providence, Rhode Island. The station serving your area identifies itself next, after which we'll be back. Brad Crandall here.
Hi, this is Chris Economaki, reporting the sport of speed every weekend on Monitor on NBC Radio.
Monitor 67, keeping you in touch with everything interesting and informative in the weekend world. I'm Brad Crandall. Drunken driving is a worldwide problem which Monitor has been examining in depth throughout this weekend. Coming up, a report from Rome on how they mix driving and drinking and, for the most part, get away with it. Thank you.
King Richard's Flugel Nights and a new version of an old nursery rhyme called Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf. Throughout this weekend, Monitor has been examining the problem of drunken driving in cities all over the world. Earlier today, a report from Denver described citizen apathy toward the menace of the drunken driver. A similar sort of apathy exists in Italy, but with a few specifics that could apply nowhere else. For the story, here is Irving R. Levine, NBC News in Rome.
It has been said that after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, almost every Italian driver is slightly drunk. This is an outrageous exaggeration, but the fact is that Italians do eat large lunches well lubricated with wine. The wine imparts a sensation of well-being. It causes Italian drivers to consider themselves endowed with the skills and courage of an Indianapolis racer. The drinking of wine in large quantities without becoming more than gregarious and good-humored is an Italian talent acquired from childhood. Italians can hold their wine, even at the wheel of a car. And consequently, drunken driving may be more of a problem than the Italian authorities recognize. Certainly, Italian law is lax on the subject. The latest annual statistics show that in more than 300,000 accidents, only 322 of the drivers were drunk. This is an astonishingly low figure, which casts doubt on the means used to determine whether a driver is drunk or not. The only valid test in Italy for this is a blood test, and it is against Italian law to take blood from a person without his consent. What driver who has imbibed too much is likely to consent to such a test? The policeman's testimony as against that of the driver is all the judge has to go on, unless there are witnesses. And the average Italian tries by every means possible to avoid becoming a witness to events that might entangle him in litigation. For years, there has been talk about changing the law, but nothing has been done about it. There is not even a law pending in Parliament. So, Italian drivers are likely to continue consuming wine without worrying that it is going to affect their prowess at the wheel, or that it is going to get them into trouble with the police. Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Rome.
Monitor's weekend-long series on the problem of drunken driving in the major cities of the world will conclude with a report from Moscow later this evening. Now, here's Jack Jones.
Our song, we used to call it our song. It helped us say hello once. It made us fall in love once, without knowing. Oh, and how we tried so not to show it, even though we didn't know it. Our song became a little sadder, but it didn't seem to matter. Even when I kissed you, couldn't please you. And then all at once our love was gone. All you left me was our song. Every time I hear that song, I could cry. Now we don't belong, we've said our goodbyes. I'm still wondering why, with tears in my eyes. Our love started like a song, but the melody went wrong. There's nothing left to do now but forget you. So I'll look around for someone new, someone who is very lonely. Come along like did the first time I heard our song.
Monitor continuing now at 16 minutes before the hour. This is Sergio Mendez, Brazil 66, singing Watch What Happens.
Let someone start believing in you. Let him hold out his hand. Let him touch you and watch what happens. Find someone who can look in your eyes and see into your heart.
London, they think they've come up with a solution to weekend rowdyism at soccer games. The idea, to put it briefly, miniskirts. The manager of one team has announced his plan to have 12 miniskirted girls parade around the field at halftime. He explained his logic this way. If we can get the fans blowing wolf whistles at the girls, they may stop throwing bottles at the players and the referees. Now, one of Diane Carroll's latest ballads, World Without Love.
Through the maze of the faces I see, there is not one soul I have known. In the midst of a crowd all around, I can't help but know I'm alone. Through the roar of the fire. silence within, I can hear myself softly cry. I'm half a girl in a world without love. What good is life without someone to share what you're living for? I need someone who will.
Everyone agrees there's nothing like the good old summertime. But let's face it, hot weather driving, especially long vacation trips, can be mighty rough on your car's engine. Under extremely hot temperatures, motor oils thin out. And that's why at this time of year it's so important to choose the right motor oil for your car. We believe the right one is one of the many famous brands of motor oil refined from Pennsylvania crude, and with good reason. When crude oil from wells in the Pennsylvania region is refined, it produces a motor oil of superior lubricity, or oiliness. This gives you extra driving stamina, extra protection for today's high-speed engines, and for extended hot-weather driving. So follow the lead of sports car fans. For the good of your engine, insist on a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. And don't forget about those rally kits the refiners of Pennsylvania Motor Oils are offering to sports car clubs right across the country. For just $1, you get 6 checkpoint signs, windshield stickers numbered 1 through 100, and a pad of rally scoring slips. To get your kit, send $1 to Checkpoint, Box 96, Oil City, Pennsylvania.
Times and don't sleep in the subway.
Just leave your dial out, here's Monitor. Lean back and and stay a while about it. Here's Monitor.
Monitor 67, helping you stay in the know while you're on the go. This is Brad Crandall. A new chemical spray which makes a violent person instantly powerless is the latest aid to law enforcement. Its punch is both physical and psychological. And you will hear all about it right after Trini Lopez sings Together.
I know the feeling of being all alone. I never had anybody I could call my own. But when we're together, it's just like a dream together. Like peaches and cream together. It's easy to see it's good for you and me. When we get together, the sun seems to shine forever. And if you'll be mine, you'll never be lonely again. Cause we belong together. We both give love a try. It will grow stronger with every day that passes by. But when we're together, it's just like a dream together. Like peaches and cream together. It's easy to see it's good for you and me. When we get together, the sun seems to shine forever. And if you'll be mine, we'll never be lonely again. Cause we belong together.
A mace was an effective weapon used by knights and soldiers in the Middle Ages. It was a heavy club, often spiked, and it was used to smash armor. Today, a chemical mace is one of the latest tools for law enforcement. It can render a violent person helpless in a matter of seconds, and there are predictions that it may replace the traditional nightstick and, in some cases, even the pistol. It's now standard equipment for the San Fernando Police Department, and Monitor reporter Roy Neal has that story in California.
Here in San Fernando, California, I'm looking at a unit that looks somewhat deceptively like it could be spray deodorant in a can. It's not. It's the newest weapon for police work in service here in this California city. Police Chief Robert Owens can tell us a little something about it, I'm sure.
The device that you're looking at here, Roy, is a highly refined form of tear gas that is under compression in this can and comes out in a series of droplets. The droplets are intended to be sprayed upon the face of a violent person, someone intending to assault an officer. These are the circumstances that it would be generally used under. The droplets form a cloud of tear gas on combination with the skin oils in the face of the individual. It is a burning sensation that is picked up by the nerve endings under the skin and reacts rather sharply upon the individual, stopping him almost instantly. We've been satisfied over and over again that there is no injury, there is no lasting effect of this device, and we feel that this is an ideal way to try to avoid the traditional association of the officer and the nightstick and thudding people across the head and things of this nature.
Roger Alois of the city of San Fernando, as a willing subject, what can you tell us about the way the chemical mace worked on you?
Well, although I was very familiar with the compounds in the mace and had some indication of what it was supposed to do, still it was very startling, to discovery after being or upon being hit with the maze itself, you have no realization of the true impact unless you actually experience it. My immediate reaction was that it felt like I got hit in the face with a cup of boiling oil. The impact was that severe. Of course, the liquid droplets forming with the oils on the skin and forming the tear gas vapors did give the ominous feeling of asphyxiation. The first reaction is, all I want to do is sit down. Just leave me alone. It, for some reason, almost destroys the will to continue action, to continue in a belligerent fashion. I say almost destroys the will because the question was asked by the chief and the doctor in attendance whether I could move away, whether I could lash out. And I could, but I did not want to. This, I think, is the true value of the maze. It destroys this will to continue belligerency.
It has an effect at once psychological and physiological.
Yes, definitely. I think the psychological factor is perhaps the most important. The pain itself was quite intense. It lasted for about 15, 20 minutes before it began subsiding. Half an hour afterwards, I was fine. The area around the eye was burned much in the same fashion as a sunburn, and this lasted for a period of 2 to 3 days. No residual effects whatsoever. An observation that I was able to make is that although I did not feel any apprehension, I did not feel any fear, because I knew that what the script was, so to speak, still there was a definite apprehension visible in muscular movements, involuntary muscular movements in the body. And the one thing that was going through my mind is, holy mackerel, I don't want to get shot with this again.
And now that you have it behind you, would you mind being shot with it again?
Would I mind? Yes.
And so it goes. The use of a new chemical, a valuable tool for the police of San Fernando and elsewhere. This is Roy Neal, reporting for Monitor from San Fernando, California.
Just a few weeks ago in Kansas City, police used the chemical mace to control some 2,000 youths who began to riot during a rock and roll talent show. So expect to hear more in the future about the wider use of this new effective weapon for law enforcement. This lady's name is Vicky Carr.
I tell myself, what's done is done. I tell myself, don't be a fool. Play the field, have a lot of fun. It's easy when you play it cool. I tell myself, don't be a chump. Who cares? Let him stay away. That's when the phone rings and I jump. And as I grab the phone, I pray. Again, I pick the pieces off the floor, put my heart on the shelf again. He'll never hurt me anymore. I'm not a puppet on a string. I'll find somebody else someday. That's when the phone rings. And once again, start to pray. Then I
It must be him. In Moscow, a first offender on a drunk driving charge loses his license for 1 year. Second offense, 3 years. Third offense, loss of license for life. You'll hear all about it about 7 minutes from now. So stay on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor, back with you at precisely 20 minutes after the hour. I'm Brad Crandall. And have you met Engelbert Humperdinck?
I wonder, should I go or should I stay? The band had only one more song to play. And then I saw you at the corner of my eye. A little girl alone and so shy.
I have the last waltz with you. Two lonely people together. Two lonely people together.
Knocked off New Orleans by a score of 42-7. And so that takes care of an exciting sports day. And as far as the sports ahead, Brad, I think that of all the events that are taking place, the only one that we really need to be concerned with is the one that starts on Wednesday, the World Series between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Boston Red Sox, who last met in 1946.
I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm looking forward to it, too. That's the sports news, friends.
Thank you very much, Mel. We, we'll be around on NBC Radio and television, of course, with that World Series. And listen, help yourself to the Brock's candy on your way. You already did.
Right? Can I have some of that, what was it, cream or cherry?
You mean some more of that cherry?
Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mumbles, on your way.
So
it's candy weekend on Monitor, so if you haven't been to your favorite drugstore this weekend, better hurry on. Now, get out of there, because it's a palace of sweets during this special candy weekend, coast to coast. Your drugstore's gone all out, featuring chocolate candies, Brock's, and all kinds of candies. Never hurts to get a gift box for your wife or husband. Slip in a little sweet nothing card while you're at it, huh? And pick up a bag for yourself. Not you, them. Live it up.
You
looked anyway.
At me. Would you get fired if I said it'd be a good idea to have your Brock's checked?
I might. Anyway, buy it for the bag or by the box or carload during Candy Weekend at drugstores coast to coast. Sergeant Pepper, Steve Allen, and the Gentle Players. Monitor nationwide every weekend, serving Central Florida in the heart of the world's Citrus Center, WLAK, Lakeland, Florida. Monitor returns shortly with a new feature, The World in Washington, an analysis in-depth of the United States' role in the world, produced by NBC News. This is Brad Crandall.
For World Series action starting Wednesday, your dial is set right here on the NBC Radio Network.